I'm told in about 45 minutes you'll hear from the White House what I'm going to tell you about President Trump delivering for Iowa, for the farmers, for biofuels producers, and in the end, the entire country benefiting. Since taking office, Trump has listened to the concerns of farmers and biofuel producers. Now he's delivered a victory that will ensure the integrity of the RFS is maintained for years to come. The solution outlined by President Trump, Administrator Wheeler, and Secretary of USDA Perdue is exactly how the RFS is meant to function according to the law as written by Congress. Maintaining the integrity of the RFS, repealing WOTUS, and allowing year-round sale of E15 will help American agriculture and the rural economy. These are promises made and promises kept by President Trump. President Trump has made clear that he's an ally of corn and soybean farmers, as well as ethanol and biodiesel producers. He's farmers, and today's announcement should prove that not only does he say that he likes the farmers, but he puts his actions where his words are. So this announcement is great news for Iowa, the Midwest, and the entire country. Let's start with Mr. Reier.
If Tom's not on the line, Chris Clayton, do you want to go ahead?
Yes. Thank you, Senator, and I hope you are recovering well.
Feeling pretty good.
Okay, great. I guess I have to play a little bit of devil's advocate. It seemed like the Trump administration broke the RFS and they fix it. How does a promise kept when you're basically fixing something that you dismantled in the first place?
Well, of course, the dismantling's been going on ever since the law hasn't followed. Obama was giving waivers out and wasn't adding back in as the law requires, and Obama gave waivers and it wasn't added back in, and now we have a promise, regardless of waivers, if they see 15 billion gallons is 15 billion gallons, and that's what we're going to use at the end of the year, as opposed to the way it used to work, both under Obama and this administration. It ended up being something less, sometimes less than 13.6 billion gallons. And so it seems to me that the law being followed. Now, if you want me to make excuses why the law wasn't followed under both the Obama administration and this administration, there's not much I can do because I pass the laws, but I don't enforce the laws. So I think the bottom line is this sets us on a path to blend more ethanol and more ethanol than the Obama administration and gives us more certainty for the future. Okay, next person. Yeah.
Spencer Chase.
Yeah, good morning, Senator. Among the things that were rumored at one point in the discussions on this was some additional supplementary volumes on top of the three-year rolling average that we're seeing announced here from the administration today. So I guess my question to you is, any concern that the lack of those supplementary volumes is going to mean that this is sort of an insufficient level of reallocation, or do you think the three-year rolling average is going to address the concerns of the biofuel sector?
Well, the industry got together, as you've heard me say, as a result of the president asking a worker of his in Iowa to get the industry together. They got together and they said the one thing they wanted is to make sure that 15 billion gallons was 15 billion gallons, regardless of the number of waivers. The industry got together, and the president has agreed to what the industry wanted at that particular time. They are going to put out some other things that I'll just give you a rough idea. But I think these are things that go beyond what the industry wanted. And you know, these other things are are just in addition to accounting for the waivers, because accounting for the waivers and adding that back in is the biggest prize of all. But there's some things on E15 compliance. There are some trade issues on ethanol and biodiesel they're making a commitment to look into. As was true under the Obama administration, the USDA is looking at some infrastructure support to get some help for filling stations, putting in E15 pumps, and then taking the labeling off of E15 pumps, or taking the labeling off of pumps that E15 could be a problem for your car, when the Department of Energy said it wasn't a problem. Then there's something I wrote to EPA on, I think the first time back in 2013, and a couple times I repeated it, that we need more cooperation between EPA and CFTC on transparency of RINs certificates and their trading in them, and things of that nature. So anyway, you know, I'll continue to hold EPA's feet to the fire so that they do as President Trump committed. Okay, next.
Matt Kay.
Matt, go ahead.
Yeah, Senator, can you hear me okay?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay, so just to be clear, what is the mechanism here for restoring retroactively lost volume? So we've been talking about 1.4 billion lost this year, another 2.6 billion going back to 2016. There's also the outstanding D.C. Federal District Court order for 500 million gallons to be made up. What is the mechanism for restoring the lost volumes retroactively in the this new package?
I guess I'll have to beg not to answer that question, because I don't know exactly how EPA is going to explain that, but they're going to share those details at 10 o'clock. So I think I better ask you to get them from EPA.
Okay. And just one follow-up, if I could, on the trade front. The U.S., as you know, has won a $7 billion-plus ruling by the WTO against the EU on Airbus subsidies. Now the Europeans are threatening to counter-retaliate. What is your concern about where this is going with Europe, the possibility we could be in a new trade war with the Europeans, including on agriculture?
Well, first of all, this is a big victory for the United States and emphasizes the importance of the World Trade Organization. And this is one of the biggest penalties, maybe the biggest penalty ever granted by a WTO arbitrator, and it takes care of a 15-year waiting for France, Germany, Spain, and others to end illegal subsidies to Airbus. And if they think that they're going to retaliate something on a 13-year-old decision by a WTO arbitrator about our non-compliance with the WTO ruling on illegal aid to Boeing, I disagree that they could even do that. And so far as I'm concerned, it's pointless to discuss this issue at all. And the best way to put an end to this is for EU and their member states to end these subsidies, period. Okay, next.
Thank you.
Kara Hart.
Thank you, Senator. I have two questions for you. The first is, how did you learn of the announcement? And secondly, what gives you confidence the EPA will abide by this promise and stay on the path and keep it? Thank you.
Well, I think that just the RVOs going out, written the way that the president agreed with us back on, I believe it was September the 12th, is all we got to go on, but that's all we need, because the law requires adding back in. Now, it's never been done under Obama and under Trump till now, but it will be done in the future. So we just have to count on them doing what they said they're going to do, and in the good faith of everybody involved. And also to remember that the president agreed to this in the Oval Office on September the 12th. Now, does that answer your question, or did you have another one?
The follow-up question on that, how did you learn of the solution? Oh, did you meet with President Trump to get the details? What was that like?
I could have talked to President Trump on Monday, I believe it was, but I was in outpatient surgery at the time, so I have not had a talk with the president. My staff has been briefed by the White House on it, and I think Senator Ernst had a conversation with the president, and she relayed that this was exactly what we had agreed to on September the 12th. And then in the meantime, both she and I said that we're not satisfied until we actually see it on paper. So within the last 24 or 36 hours, we were briefed on those details, that it came out exactly like what we said. So when the bottom line is, the president knows that I'm very, very happy. Okay,
thank
next.
Danelle Eller, are you on?
Anybody else on there?
Yes, I'm here. I'm here. I just wanted to ask the senator, do you think this plan will be enough to win back farmers who have been extremely upset over the action on waivers?
The answer is yes, but let me explain it. What irritated the farmers was, in the fall of every year, you're told that you're going to get 15 billion gallons of ethanol used, and because of waivers, it ends up being 13.6, and that's what irritated the farmers. That isn't going to happen in the future. So I think that the farmers are going to be happy. And at least we know what the corn growers, the soybean people, and the biofuels people have put out, that they're satisfied with it. And that's what the president asked the people that got the industry together to do. And I think this commitment to the ethanol and biodiesel will restore the confidence that you're asking about, because they get certainty at 15 billion gallons. Okay, next.
Megan Casella.
Thank you, Senator. I have a follow-up question to the previous question, actually. It's along the same lines, but Trump has a negative net approval in Iowa and Nebraska, according to Monthly Consult. And so do you think this package will help restore his popularity in those states?
Oh, well, I think that paying attention to polls that change from day to day, and with so many things influencing what the polls show, but I've seen polls where the president's approval rating among farmers is pretty steady, and I think this can't do anything but help it. Don't forget, there's a multitude of things that affect a president's approval rating or disapproval. Okay, next.
Mike Dorning.
Thanks, Senator. I hope you're recovering well. This is a slight variation on an earlier question, but this still does have to be codified, and sure, there'll be a proposal next week, but the oil industry has proven in the past to be incredibly influential in tweaking the final outcomes. How confident are you that they won't be able to do that again one way or another?
Well, what we had told us was exactly what was agreed to on September the 12th in the Oval Office, with Wheeler and Purdue saying so. The president and vice president were there. Six senators heard it and briefed accordingly, because we weren't going to say on September the 12th that we were satisfied, that we're going to wait till it's on paper. So it's on paper now, put out for comment. And the only thing that I can see that would interfere with it would be some sort of court case that the industry could bring. But I think the president eventually came to the conclusion that you're never going to satisfy the oil industry on this, because they just plain don't like the RFS, even though the RFS was formulated in 2005, 6, and 7 with the cooperation and at the behest of the oil industry that wanted to get rid of other oxygenate requirements that were in the Clean Air Act of the early 1990s that was causing them major problems. And so the RFS exists because the oil companies wanted it. So they can sue if they want to. We've been fighting them for 30 years, and I intend that I guess they're never going to give up. And this is an announcement when it comes out next week that'll probably be finalized before the end of the year. It's following the law, and there's no reason the courts would strike down EPA following the law.
So you're confident of the legal endurance of this?
Well, I can't. There's no way I can speculate on what some judge might do. So you got 600 judges around the country. Depends on which case, where they take the case. So don't ask me to speculate on that.
Okay.
Hannah Monaghan.
Yes, good morning, Senator. This is a question on USMCA. You've been very supportive and optimistic of the USMCA negotiation process happening on the House side with Speaker Pelosi and some of her chosen Democrats. But we've seen in recent weeks some escalating rhetoric from Leader McCarthy and Leader McConnell saying the Speaker is slow walking USMCA. What is your response to that? Do you believe that they are correct, or do you think the process is working as it's supposed to?
All I can say is everything that I've heard as recently as reading in the paper in the last week, that when Pelosi says she wants to get to yes, she wants to get to yes, and there's been several reaffirmations of that since I met with her 3.5 months ago in her office when I left a half-hour meeting with a very positive feeling about it, and Lighthizer having the same positive feeling, her telling her caucus they need to speed up and reach a compromise with Lighthizer and all of that. But we, in fact, do need to move to deliver USMCA. Time isn't on our side when it comes to the in-session days we have yet this year, and I don't want it to go over till next year. But I haven't heard anything negative from Pelosi, other than it just takes her a lot of time to satisfy her caucus with so many new members. So I would say I'm not going to find fault with what McCarthy and McConnell have said, but I'm not anxious about Pelosi's actions so far.
Okay, that's all who I have checked off. Did anyone else hop on the line since I checked at the top?
Okay. Thank you all very much. Goodbye.